Good morning. Let's make sure I got everything here. Gotta have a hanky. But you can open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Psalm number 31. I always enjoy being able to preach. I try to, usually whenever I'm asked, I try to have a message that's encouraging or uplifting. If pastor asked me to preach on a certain doctrine or something, you know, I would. But usually the doctrine, things like that, the pastor's duties to teach. So I try to just be a blessing and have a message that's edifying, amen, and hope it'll be an encouragement to us. But I love preaching out the Psalms. I love reading the Psalms because there's so many times the words that you're reading express how you're feeling. And you know, a lot of times it's hard to put things into words when you're praying and things like that. Psalm 51 is just such a beautiful psalm of repentance and restitution, restoration, I mean, with David. And you can read that psalm and pray that psalm to the Lord, and it just strengthens and deepens your relationship with God, amen, is something that should be very real to you. It should be experimentally true in your life, amen. God should be just as real to you as the person sitting in front of you or sitting next to you, amen. And that's what the Bible's designed for. That's what church is designed for. Appreciate that song, Nate. I love Nate. I still remember years ago, and the whole family would stand up, and he was just a little boy, and about, my son's a little older, but stand there with his, he loved camouflage stuff. He had a camouflage covered Bible, and then to see him grow up, and you've got a beautiful voice. It really is. You're a blessing to us. We appreciate that. And he's enjoying the single life over there. That must be different. It's the first time, right? With no one. All the girls are gone. Pastor's probably jealous. He could wish he was with you. But anyways, you don't look like you're starving or anything either. So. But amen. But it's a blessing seeing the young people grow up and walk with God and serve the Lord. Amen. And so anyways, over here in Psalm number 31, we're going to just look at a couple of the things featured in this psalm. We'll see here how the Christian life can be lived even during troublous times and trying times, and anyone that's been around the trials and tribulations, we could all probably have our own list, amen, of things we've had to deal with, negative circumstances, health problems, family problems, finance problems, I mean, you name it. We've all experienced those things, amen. But being saved and knowing God and knowing that he can get you through it. I like the little quote that the Millers had said one time, that there's nothing God will bring you to that he won't bring you through, amen? And really, when you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you know you're saved, you know you're his child, he gets you through, amen? And so we're going to look at some of the things here, how those trying times really are designed to deepen our faith and strengthen our faith and strengthen our convictions. It makes our relationship with God deeper and closer because we went through that with him, amen, and him getting us through it and going through it with us. So I don't want to read the whole psalm. So the first thing that I'm going to comment on is just in verse number one, we see the psalmist's confidence in God. Amen. He says here in verse number one to the chief musician, a psalm of David. David says here, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Amen. And when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to being a child of God, when it comes to having all the blessings and the promises and all these things apply in your life, the first and most important thing is that you can say, "He's my God." Amen. You know him personally. You've trusted him in a personal way. The blessing of our salvation, the blessing of our Christianity is that we can know we have salvation. Amen. There's no hope so salvation. If you're sitting here today and you were faced with going into eternity tonight and you said, "Well, I hope so," then you're missing the mark. Amen. Because the Bible tells us these things are written that you may know you have eternal life, amen? And so in order to claim all these beautiful promises in the Word of God, to have the hope and the expectation of eternity and the things that we see pertaining to when we go into eternity, salvation is the most important thing, amen? Knowing you're saved, knowing there was a time where you personally put your faith in Christ as your Savior, amen? You trusted him as your Lord and Savior. For as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, amen, to become the children of God. So that before anything else in this book can apply to you, salvation has to be first. You look at Psalm number 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," amen. David said, "He's my shepherd," amen. If you can't say he's your shepherd, then all the rest of that psalm, I'm going to flip back there, wouldn't it? "The Lord is my shepherd," amen. If he is, you shall not want. You can claim that. You can believe that. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You can claim that. You can believe that, amen. "He leadeth me beside still waters." You can believe that, amen. But he has to be your shepherd, amen. You have to have that confidence in God, amen, that certainty, amen, that you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have any doubts, then you should talk to someone, amen, because it's the most important thing, amen, to trust him now in this life, amen, and to trust him in the afterlife, amen. There's been a time where you've been to the cross, amen, you've been cleansed by the blood. There's a time where you trusted Christ, you made a free will decision that you were going to put your faith in Christ, that you were going to ask him to forgive you for your sins, amen? And then you can have that confidence, knowing anything you go through, God is with you. Anything that comes your way, God is with you, amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. All through the Bible, it tells us not to fear. The Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear. Verses like that. The verses, my faith is in Jehovah, of whom shall I be afraid? I mean, all through the Bible, God tells us not to be afraid. Amen. And to be afraid to die, afraid to go into eternity, shouldn't be that way, amen, and just afraid in life. I know if you watch TV, it looks like Rome is burning, amen. I mean, it's horrible, all the things going on in this world, and we pray for them, and we hope things can get better, but you know what, at the end of the day, having that confidence, knowing, amen, you have that faith, you have that certainty that you're a child of God, and you know that the worst thing that's going to happen to you will be here, amen. Lost people, the best thing that's going to happen to them is going to be here, amen. And so salvation, having that confidence, and it says there in verse number one, in Psalm 31, he says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Amen. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Verse 2, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. Amen. For a house of defense to save me. Verse 3 says, for thou art my rock. There again, he makes this all personal. My strong rock, my fortress. Amen. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Amen. Pull me out of the net they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Amen. And so we have that confidence in God that we don't have to be afraid in this life or afraid in eternity. To go into eternity. We know that he is with us. Amen. That he is our rock. He's our defense. God is with us. Amen. And so the way you get that confidence again is by that very first step, putting your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Then the second thing we do as Christians, amen, this is important also, because if we don't do this, many times we've seen people pray a prayer of salvation, and then we never see a change in their life. We've never seen them have a desire to go to church. We've never seen them want to be involved in a ministry. We never see them grow, amen. And the way that that happens, the way that that doesn't happen is you get saved and then you commit yourself to the Lord, amen. That's what verse number 5 says. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, amen. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So you're redeemed. You're a child of God, amen. You know you're saved. And the next thing for us to do as a Christian is to devote ourselves to God, commit ourselves to God, amen. To have a continuous, surrendered, yielding relationship with God, amen, because that old flesh always wants to go in the opposite direction, amen. That old flesh is contrary to the things of God. When you get up Sunday morning, that old flesh will say, boy, you don't feel that good today, or boy, you had a rough week. You could probably sleep in, go to the evening service. And that old flesh will always try to sabotage your walk with God. Amen. So when you get saved and you just immediately make a commitment, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do all the basics, go to church, read my Bible, pray. Amen. Not very hard to do and to do those things. And you will grow. You will be a stronger Christian. You'll be able to have that confidence in God. When something comes your way, you're not going to fall to pieces. You're not going to fall apart. You're not going to be afraid because you've been committed to God, and in return, he's committed to you. Amen. You devote yourself to him, he devotes himself to you. And so that committal, the first step, of course, is salvation. Then for the child of God to surrender to God and to commit their self to God. One of my favorite Proverbs is Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. So many times we don't know exactly what to do. And I've said it a million times. I wish God would just send me an email or something, you know. But he doesn't, amen. And so we have to pray and we have to ask his word to speak to us. And to, the way that happens is you have a daily devotion and that daily time in your word. You ask God to give you a verse. You ask him to speak to your heart because you don't know what to do. And that verse will pop out at you, amen, and you'll know that that was from God, and it might not even make sense to anyone else, but you know God just gave that to you, and you claim that, and you hold on to that, and you you walk with God, amen. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Verse 1, Proverbs 16, the preparation of a man's heart, amen, are of the Lord. And so when we yield to God, God will help us guide our thinking, amen, and guide our so that we can direct our actions and those things. It all comes from being committed and having that close walk with God, amen. And so many times, and I get under conviction, you know, when we have the altar call and we'll sing, I surrender all. And we all love it and we sing it kind of quiet and nice and the mood is there. And I look at them words and do I really surrender all? Am I really surrendering all? Or am I just surrendering what I want, you know? And I get under conviction because I know I'm going to give an account for saying those things if I don't mean them. Is your all on the altar, amen, of sacrifice laid? And we'll sing it, you know, and we'll read it and we'll say amen. Between us and God, are we really, is our all really on the altar? Have we really surrendered all? And I'm just being honest with you. I get under conviction sometimes. I get under conviction because of the things I'm singing, amen? The words I'm singing. I don't want to just do lip service to God and sing, oh, I surrender all. That's a great invitation song for somebody else, amen? It needs to be a great invitation song for me. And when we're reading that, I can't remember who the preacher was. Our pastor did it, I think, about a month ago. He read a hymn while he was preaching and just the teaching. And it was either, I don't know if it was Clarence Larkin or Ravenhill or Tozer. It was one of the older pillars of the faith that we all look to and read all their books. And they said that when he taught at the school, at the Bible college that he was at, the students all loved it on Friday chapel. He would actually just take a song out of a hymn book, and that would be his message for that day. And just he'd expound and pound on the verses in that song, because so many of them songs have such deep meaning and spiritual truths, amen. And so it's important for us to, as best as we can, to remain committed to God, amen. And we was talking with Mark this morning of how some of the people just, when COVID was like a big slap in the face for some people, they stopped coming to church, and we were watching it online. And I was thankful we have the technology that we can do that. So we'd watch Pastor Speroni, then we'd watch the pastor in Greater Rhode Island, we'd watch somebody else. So, you know, there was a lot of, you could get a lot of good preaching, but then when things opened back up, those people, they never came back, you know? And so it's so important for us to stay committed. God designed church for a reason, amen. And I've used the example before, like, and it's good now because it's summertime and we all like grilling, right? And you like grilling. And most of us have propane now, but back in the old days when we had those charcoal grills or even just a campfire or something, and you see those coals all just glowing and keeping each other hot for a long time. But if you took one out and put it off to the side, that group would still be glowing and they'd still be warm and they'd still be giving heat to each other. And that one you put off to the side by itself would be cold. Amen. And that's what happens to Christians when they don't have that commitment to be faithful to church, to reading your Bible, and praying. Those are like the three vitamins that we need every day, amen, to keep us healthy. Have a little reading time, whatever works for you, morning, noon, night, it doesn't matter. It's just that you do it. Praying time, whatever's best for you, as long as you do it, amen. Church, we know when church is, amen. And we keep that commitment, and that will help us to have that confidence in God, amen. And some people went through some horrible times in their lives, and how brave they were. I was so impressed and so proud of them that they went through what they went through, and they kept their faith, and what an example that was to somebody, to everybody else, and just how that they were able to keep up their confidence because they were someone that were close to God and devoted to God, amen. And so you get that, you get saved, amen. Then you commit yourself unto God. In verse number 9-12, we'll read that. But David speaks here about confession, amen, when it comes to you and God, amen. Honesty, like they say, honesty is the best policy. The truth shall set you free, amen. And you just need to be honest. And we see what a beautiful example. David, what a great warrior. He killed tens of thousands of people. The angel of the Lord taught him how to fight. Imagine what a sensei that is, amen. To have the angel of the Lord teach you how to fight. And but we see David here, not afraid to express to God, amen, and thankfully we can read it now, but at that time it was for him and God, amen, to admit his weakness, amen, his strength was failing. But let's read verse number 9, amen, 9 to 12 actually. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, look what he says, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Amen. David just admitting, God, I'm in trouble. I'm spiritually a mess. I'm physically a mess. God, help me. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with us doing that between us and God. Amen. And saying, God, I need your help. God, I don't know what to do. Help me. You're my father. I'm your child. Amen. Just like we, if one of my children came to me or my grandchildren, I'm going to help them. Amen. And God gave himself that paternal name, Father, amen, for us, his children. But David admits, amen, he's spiritually and physically in trouble, and he's grieved by it, amen. Verse number 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Verse 10, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. Look at what he says. He says, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. Amen. Shows us that sin can weaken us. Amen. It's so important for us to try to stay close to God. And none of us are perfect. Nobody's sinless. Amen. But we do our best. best to stay on good terms and stay in the good graces of God and not allow ourselves to get to that point where sin is just spiritually and physically ruining us. Amen. David says, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Verse 11, he says, I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. Amen. And a fear to my acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Amen. And whatever happened, David's testimony was ruined. Amen. He felt like he was a reproach. He felt like he had let God down. Amen. And let others down. Over in Psalm number 77, I love a psalm of Asaph. Amen. And he was the music director over the choir. I think it was like 275 Levitical priests that were in the choir. He allowed himself to start thinking wrong. Amen. He started thinking how the people that weren't God's people seemed like life was good for them, and they didn't have any problems, and they didn't have any troubles. And Asaph said that his feet were almost slipping. Amen. But then he goes back, but he says, and then I remembered thy sanctuary. But imagine the song leader over 275 Levitical priests all of a sudden just backsliding and walking away from God like that. And so Asaph knew, because of the people that were watching him, he wasn't going to allow himself to do that, amen, to slip. But David here is in a bad way, amen. But we see the confession, just the admitting to God that he's weak, amen, that his strength is failing him. And we all hate to look at our faults. We all hate to look at our blemishes. We all hate to look at the negative aspects of our character flaws, whatever you want to call them, amen. When we're honest with God, that will help us, amen. That makes us, will get us back on course with God. It keeps us from getting like David, to the point of just spiritually and physically, he's just he's a mess, amen. His strength is gone. He's like a dead man, he said, amen. And what can a dead man do? Nothing. Nothing, amen. They can't move. They could have a fly on the tip of their nose and they couldn't swat it. You can't do anything. And David felt like he was at that point. Amen. But the realization of that and admitting that to God, that's where the intervention and the liberation comes from. Amen. When he admitted that to God, amen, he realizes it. He tells God exactly what's going on. And that's what God wanted. Amen. God wants the honesty between us. If we got to have an area of our life we need help, and maybe it doesn't have to be something so sickening, maybe you know you should read your Bible but you always put it off. Maybe it's just a little simple thing like that, and you can just be honest and say, God, help me today to do it, because I know I'm supposed to. I know I'll be blessed because of it. I know you would like it if I did it. Maybe it's just some little thing like that, that you always make an excuse and you say, well, I'll do it after, or I'll do it later, but then it never, later never comes, amen. Or you, tomorrow I'm going to start having a devotion and pray each day for whoever's on your prayer list, amen. Excuse me. and ask God to help you. That's an area of your life, amen, where you fail and where you're weak and you need to be strengthened. And obviously, as far as coming to church, you're all here, so we don't have to say that, amen. Just pray for God to help you. Maybe you have a hard time witnessing, amen. If you have a hard time witnessing, ask God to help you, amen. If he puts you don't have to save everybody, amen. You just save the ones God wants you to, the ones that are in your path, amen. The ones that are in your bird nest or like Dr. Fauci used to call your bubble, amen. Whoever's in your bubble. Yeah. And God wants you to reach them and you pray and say, God, help me to. I've had to do it hundreds of times where I've known God wanted me to speak to somebody. And it's so weird because I can preach at church. I can have no problems with it. Even though I know you, even if you were all strangers, I could still do it. But when it comes to like that personal one-on-one thing, I get so nervous. I can't hardly talk. My voice is cracking. I feel like a mess. And so there's been times that God said, go talk to that guy. And then I wouldn't. And man, I'd feel bad the rest of the day. And then I'd pray the next time that guy comes, God, help me. Help me, strengthen me to be able to talk to that guy. And I don't even know why it troubles me so much to do that, because I'm really not afraid of anyone. I'm not, you know, like, what's somebody going to try to beat me up? You know, I mean, I don't know what the fear is or why it comes. And I have to ask God to help me. But when we're honest with God in those little things, amen, God blesses us because of our honesty, and then he blesses us and helps us to accomplish those little things, amen, that can be a blessing and a benefit to, see if you, it's a good track, amen. If you go up to someone with a smiley face, they really can't be that mean to you, right? But I got this from we preached in Open Bible Baptist in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago. But I always like smiley faces. I think the guy that invented them is from Massachusetts, isn't he? The guy that invented the... I know in the movie everybody thinks it was Forrest Gump, but but I don't think he did, right? I think the guy's from Mass. Somebody could look if you want to know. But anyways, for the sake of time, so that you got to have confidence you're saved, amen. Then when you're saved, commit yourself to God, amen. Devote yourself to him as best as you can. He's not going to ask you to do more than you can do. And then be honest with him. Have that prayer time where you speak to him honestly, and you thank him, and you praise him. You make your petitions known, any of those areas where you have weakness, amen. And in verse 15 and 16, we see David's prayer or his petition to God. He just admitted to God that his strength was gone. He was physically and spiritually sick, amen. Then in verse 15, David says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Amen. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. And so David confessed to God, and he's praying now, and he's telling God that he knows his times are in his hands. Our life's in God's hands. Amen. Every one of us, our life is on loan from God. Amen. One breath left, And that's it, amen. God knows the day and the hour. We don't know the day or the hour. And our life is in his hands, amen. And David's saying that, and he's asking to make your face to shine upon me. And that's what we all want, amen. We want God to look upon us favorably. We want God to have his blessings upon us, amen. We try to live our lives in a way where we have God's blessings on us, amen. It's so important for us. In verse 19, in verse 21, David praises God. Amen. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of man. Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. And that's why it's so important for you to read your Bible, because you see all those things. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you'll know these things, and you'll feel that presence of God, and you'll feel that closeness of God, amen. And you'll know that if God is for you, who can be against you, amen. You'll know, and you will not be afraid, things like that, because he hides you in the secret place, amen. Verse 9, verse 20, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, amen. For he has shewed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. And one of the ways, if you want to get God's attention, I've told you this before, is you praise him, amen. Thank him and praise him. Sometimes you got to like that song we sing, Roger. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And sometimes you mentally and spiritually get in a rut, and you just have to stop and say, wait a minute, and I'm going to count my blessings, amen. And then you begin to name them off, and you count your spiritual blessings, your salvation, that Christ died for you, that the Holy Ghost lives inside you, that God gave you his word, amen. Then you can go on and thank him and praise him for your health, and thank him and praise him for your family and your spouses and your friends and your children. And you begin to thank him, amen, for all these things. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people, amen. And so when you begin to praise God and adore God and just worship him the way he should be worshiped, you'll develop a closeness with God like you never had before, amen, where you'll, we walk by faith, but sometimes I tell you what, you can feel it, amen. You can feel the presence and the energy of God around you and with you, and those things will help you, amen. And so don't ever be afraid to express your love to God and your thankfulness to God. The Bible tells us to offer to him, we're New Testament priests, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? That we're New Testament priests that offer spiritual sacrifices. And you go in your Bible and you see the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of righteousness, the sacrifice of faith, the sacrifice of peace. And you can praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for being my peace. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord. And so you can praise him for personal peace. You praise him for that positional peace. Amen. That you have because of Christ. And you will. It'll help you to grow. Amen. To be the strong Christian that you need to be, amen. And and you'll have the joy of the Lord will be your strength. You'll have the peace of God upon you, and you will just have a better walk with God, amen. Christ wants us to have abundant life, right? Didn't he say that? To have abundant life, to just like live and try to make it through this nasty world. We don't have to, amen. We can be above the circumstances as Christians, amen. And so we can adore him, amen, and praise him for working in our lives in a way that no one can. We all have those little miracles that he's done in our lives that we know it was him. We know it was because of the prayers of the saints. And man, you just can hold on to that like a precious stone, amen, and praise and thank God for that. And so David goes through his thing here. He admits God's his God, amen. He commits himself back to God. He confesses his situation and the way he really feels, that honesty. God blesses him and delivers him because of that. And then now he's back praising God, amen, and walking with God and worshiping God in a special way. And then the last thing we'll look at in verse 23 and 24, he begins to be an encouragement to others, amen. And when you're right with God and walking with God and you're strong in the Lord, you can be an encouragement, amen. You can exhort others and bless others. And if you're just walking around whining all the time, amen. I mean, God killed people in the Old Testament for whining, amen. I just always remember that. And even you think of it when you go, you know how sometimes you have one of your kids or your grandkids, and there's nothing wrong, but for some reason that day they were just whiny all day, whining about it, whining, and it drives you nuts, you know. It's like, you got no problems, amen. All you got to worry about is if I give you a juicy or not, you know. And what's all the whining for, amen? Well, imagine how God feels, you know, when we're just whining all the time, amen. So we make our requests known. We let them know the things that bother us. But then we move on from there and begin to praise him, amen, and thank him and get that joy of the Lord back. And then in verse 23 and 24, you can be a blessing to others, amen. Without even knowing it, you can be a blessing to others. Verse 23, it says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Verse 24, "Be of good courage, amen, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord," amen. And so when your hope is in God, you're honest with God, amen, you can be a blessing to others when the time comes, amen. And anyways, I think I'm going to stop right there. It's 11:05. Or five past, what time is it? Oh, it's 11:05, amen. It's bad when you can't see even with your good glasses, amen. But anyways, if you're not saved, get saved, amen. Talk to somebody. Why are you going to risk going into eternity without Christ, amen? And I know people say, well, what if you're not right? And it's like, well, what if I am right? You know, do you ever think of that? Just settle it, amen. And for the Christians, let's try to walk with God. Let's try to stay committed, stay close, read, pray, amen. It's those little things. It's such a, I tell the teens, amen, if you read for 15 minutes, God will bless you for 23 hours and 45 minutes. I mean, you can't outdo God, amen. And so, and even as grown-ups, we still need it, amen. And just always be honest with him and try to settle things, and you'll enjoy that joy of the Lord, amen. And you can be an encouragement to others.